Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
This is Bill Rayner, back with you again with good mate and Grey Power colleague Marty Marinovich. I've had a very frustrating couple of weeks battling Panuku and the Auckland Council over saving the Takapuna car park site in central Takapuna. It's being sold off for high-rise apartment and commercial development. The current round of the battle involves an incredibly shonky so-called submission process on the town square, a very small part of the land available. There are two options as to where the town square might be, and the third option being the draconian and extremely misleading no town square or development. The public are given two options, accompanied by pretty pictures of a park-like small town square with no mention that the rest of the site is going to be covered in concrete and high-rise privately owned apartments and commercial properties. The lovely park-like square in the presentation has shadowy low-level buildings in the background with no indication at all that they could be 12 stories high and completely shutting out the sun. It's entirely misleading and biased and makes me angry that the public are treated with such idiocy and disrespect by our city fathers. Not only were the questions completely skewed, the design of the forms were very poor and efficient. The so-called consultation period is just over 2 weeks, July the 23rd to August the 10th. And to round it all off, there were 78,000 forms delivered to mailboxes throughout the Devonport-Takapuna local board area, advising the online site to respond to, but the forms did not have the provision to respond manually on that form. The only hard copy forms available could be picked up from the Takapuna Council Service Centre complex in Takapuna, and very few hard copy forms were actually available. The campaign to save the land has been run by the very energetic Heart of Takapuna group, which Grey Power North Shore is part of. But we're very much out of the action because of the complete lack of modern social media and digital communication skills. This just has to be remedied and sorted out. The lack of hard copy forms and timing is a serious discrimination against the senior community and will be addressed in different forums. Indeed, the whole validity of the process will be put by Grey Power North Shore to Council and Panuku Management and Board. I've been involved in community affairs now for almost 60 years and fully aware of the tricks of the political trade and the political spin that is now part of the political process, both national and local. Both Auckland Council and its offshoots have gone beyond what is reasonable, and like many other Aucklanders, I'm completely frustrated and angry about the way the city is mismanaged and the way the public are effectively shut out of any meaningful dialogue or decision-making. It's rather sad to speak at this time because this is my last program with you for Senior Focus for the moment. This is number 36. 3 years we've been meeting this way, and it's been a wonderful experience and a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll be back from time to time, and I look forward to that. But now, before Matty and I sort out the council, we'll have a usual musical interlude to allow for my frustrations to ease a little. So welcome a lively Irish ditty to celebrate the wonderful achievement of the Irish women's hockey team for their performance in the Hockey World Cup. The Irish being the only race on earth who party for days for coming second. A touch of Irish blood is God's gift. Thank you, Grandma Hickey. And now the Kilkennys with the Galway Girl.
Well, I took a stroll on the old park on a day, I met a little girl and we started to talk as a fine soft day, and I asked if what's a fella to do, if her hair is black and her eyes are blue. We were halfway there. sad verse, everybody. But when I woke up, I was all alone. Had a broken heart and a ticket home. And I ask you, friend, what's a fella to do? If her hair is black and her eyes are blue. I've been traveling around in all over this world. Boys, I've never seen nothing like a Galway girl.
Do you remember those old Irish jokes that used to be around many years ago? And it's like the time the Irish airline Aer Lingus flew into Auckland and came to a screeching halt on landing. And Captain Paddy O'Toole said to his Sean Flaherty, his co-pilot, "But Jesus, Sean, these Kiwi runways are bloody short." "Begotty, you're right, Paddy, but look how wide they are." Not too sure it's legal to say things like that anymore. Well, welcome, Maddie. And now to the serious stuff. Greater Power, in its main submission to Auckland Council this year, made four main points. Probably the most important, and what we're talking about today, was to have a full review of the Auckland Council's super city structure, planning and operating effectiveness. Greater Power in the very curious situation where both Greater Power and the Auckland Chamber of Commerce with Michael Barnett agree that the city's not fit for purpose and needs a major restructuring. And what do you reckon, Maddie?
I think it's very necessary to have a restructure. I see in the paper just this morning they're already advertising for next year's elections and the basis of what they're going to, how they're going to be held and how many people per ward, and they've sort of shifted some boundaries around, some boundary readjustments, etc., but they've not readjusted the local boards. So they're fiddling while Rome burns, and I think Rome is burning. The council is spending money thick and fast, and but not looking after the parks and the things that they used to look after. There's grass growing up to your kneecaps in certain parts, and certain parts berms are getting cut. They've had the so-called budget cut there, but then they're profligately wasting money in other areas. I mean, it's like they've got a black hole like the Treasury has.
Well, I think the problem, you probably touched on it, is that it's so big and unwieldy that the top end doesn't know what the bottom end's doing, and it's the bottom end that actually impacts so much on the public.
Well, the local boards, I mean, there's been an instance of with the Seniors Advisory Panel recently. Janet Clears is the chair of that. The report that she had was given to, I think, our Steve McDonald got a report, a copy of it. Then the local boards, both Massey and Waitakere, Henderson, Massey and Waitakere, had not seen a copy of it until Steve gave them a copy. So it's the percolation of the information down to the local area, which to me, the local area is the old parish. It's the most important part of the council.
Well, we've got an interesting situation now, Devonport Takapuna Local Board, talking about that, where the on this issue over the Takapuna car park, the land there, where the local board have actually unanimously passed a resolution that they move into formal, conflict, I suppose is the word, with the governing body, because they don't believe they've been treated appropriately under the Local Government Act, and their viewpoint hasn't been taken into account.
I read that in the Herald, actually, and I think that the local boards in all of the local boards are pivotal to their communities and their communities of interest, more so than the greater electorate where they source the councillors from. I think often the local board people have a greater understanding of what's going on a day-to-day basis. And up the top, the councillors up the top, they think, oh, this is lovely. We've got a place to park the car. We can bring in our e-bikes. We're getting paid. The bureaucrats, in some cases, are putting out reports that are like about 4 inches thick. And our old mate, Alan McCulloch, which came to mind earlier on while we were having a cuppa, he said to me when I was on the planning chair of Auckland Regional Authority, they cut the staff, I think it was 32 in the planning department, down to 16, but they did it by careful attrition, whereas 1 month someone would come in and you'd say, well, your job won't be there next month. Well, why doesn't the council start devolving its senior staff and cutting down the number of people they've got all over the countryside?
Well, that's probably a big core issue, because it was quite interesting. One of the little bright spots in our Grey Power Council relationship was the re-establishment of the meetings with the mayor that we used to have in the last meeting we had, which was the first with Mayor Phil Goff. He made that comment. He gets more paper now as a councillor than he got as a cabinet minister running the country. So, yeah, that's a key issue. But I think the key problem we have with the council, and sometimes I feel sorry for the councils, not often, but in the fact that it's the major activities are controlled by the six CCOs, as they call them, Auckland Transport and Water Care.
Panuku.
Panuku is the one that's on the hotspot.
Auckland Facilities. Oh,
I kept changing their names. They used to have the waterfront, whatever, but it's now rolled
into part of Panuku.
Panuku. And they're independent with their own boards, and the politicians, even if something like Auckland Transport, if there's a problem with local transport, they've got no influence at all. And local board even less. You can't ring up the council and say, get it fixed. They say, oh, that's Auckland Transport.
No,
so that's the major problem.
And I've seen it in the local boards. Actually, in the last Waitakere Rangers one meeting last month, I went along to, and they talked about, they had two people from Auckland Transport, and they were talking about the roads and et cetera out in Glen Eden and around about there. And I learnt that West Coast Road, Glen Eden, which goes into Oratia, is the 19th most dangerous road in the country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're always looking at it, but that's all they do. They're looking at things. Auckland Transport is, there's no longer two councillors on the board of Auckland Transport like there used to be.
Oh, is that right?
No, that's gone.
That used to be Christian Fletcher and Mike Lee, wouldn't it?
That's now completely Auckland Transport.
I didn't realise that.
They do have to report. By statutory requirement, they do have to report, but I don't know what they have to report.
Well, they do. I mean, they all have to report, but I mean, that I thought was probably the best idea. In fact, I went into a meeting where they were discussing this, whether there should be councillors on the CCO boards, which I thought was an excellent idea. But as part of this modern governance concept where they say, well, the board's appointed and they appoint a CEO and then they have no further involvement apart from setting a strategy of some sort. But I didn't realise that had actually gone through, because I mean, Mike Lee in particular and both Christine Fletcher were very, very useful in that,
that
conduit.
Yeah.
But I think the problem that we do have now, of course, is with Panuku. They've been given this job of raising a sort of millions and millions of dollars by selling off surplus council land, and they're running into difficulties all over the city because they're picking on items of land blocks that have been there for generations and used by council in various shapes and forms.
But in terms of your Takapuna car park situation, I mean, that's almost... Well, I'll use the word corrupt in inverted commas so that I don't get sued.
Yeah, well, of course, that's an interesting situation, because on the shore, and perhaps not so much in the west, because Devonport was one of the oldest suburbs in Auckland, established in 1840 along with Auckland City, because that's where the Navy set up with their flagstaff and their ammunition.
Henderson 1844.
Yeah, and
so pretty close.
But then the sort of with this particular, and of course they'd always had a long tradition of public sort of what you might call philanthropy, donations of land. But the Auckland the Takapuna car park started off in 1909. It was the terminus for the tramway that used to run from Bayswater to Takapuna, which most people didn't even know existed. The ferry used to come to Bayswater and then they'd hook onto the steam train, which would go up bus.
Oh, I didn't even know.
And go around Lake Poopooki, and this is where they're what they call the tram barn.
Oh, yeah.
And then that, of course, the buses eventually took over from the steam tram, and it went out of business in 1927. So then it became a bus barn. Of course, in those days, they were private sort of ventures, but it's been there that long. And then I think it was in the 1960s when the sort of the bus system was sort of reorganised. It was bought by the Hurstmere Road Takapuna retailers and what you'd call, I guess these days, a targeted rate. It was actually a loan that was raised from the council to buy the land, and they paid it off over whatever. And some of those firms are still there. And, of course, they were saying, well, look, we paid for this. Mm. It belongs to the community. It was bought by the retailers, and you can identify them as individuals. Mm. It wasn't just a block of land. So that's one of the core issues. And, of course, the council don't recognise that at all. And, of course, the other big issue, which I think is universal across the city, is that they're going to take the money that they take from selling this. There's going to be, they don't want any car parking there. They're going to sort of flog off the land, except for this very small town centre they're talking about, to private developers. The actual layout that they've set up, of course, is just speculative because they don't know what the developers are going to do. So it's a real problem. Of course, the other problem we have, the money just disappears into the great big council pot. Paying for a bigger railway station.
Well, I've just been alerted this morning on my mobile phone from one of the women on the local board at Henderson Massey that they're going opened up submissions for the Harbourview land in Te Aritu Peninsula, where here they are starting to put their feelers in, like, oh, we've got some land there and it's quite nice and there's some lovely houses down there, but we all contributed, when it was under Waitakere City Council, $9 a year for about 5 years in rates. And it was supposed to become a people's park, something to envision to be like Cornwall Park in time. Mm. But suddenly they want to put a marae here and some buildings there and things that you wouldn't ordinarily have in the reserve.
Well, that's a problem. I think that's the other problem of a disconnect between the office operating officers and sometimes the local board. We have a crazy situation in Devonport where we've got our Windsor Park, which has been there since 1841, still got the original 1841 flagpole on it, where they've decided they want to turn that into a sort of a destination playground with a rather bizarre sort of a set of I don't know quite what you'd call them, slides and things you have these days that's supposed to look like Bean Rock. And it's going to cost $1 million. I mean, good God. I mean, it just makes you weep. And $1 million, and of course, which is a bit like they're talking about the Po on statue on Bastion Point,
yes,
the council wants to put up. And yet they talk about the same time that the kids in South Auckland, their playgrounds are all, you know, deficient. Mm. And they could, why spend $2 million or $1 million on a playground in Devonport where there's a playground already? This is just jazzing up what's there with a beach. And the kids out in South Auckland and sort of haven't got much at all. No, it's just not. And yet that's, once again, that's come completely out of the blue for the local board.
Yes.
They've got a special playground specialist committee now that goes around doing these things. So it's just impossible.
They have a facilities contract out for they call themselves UMS, go around the parks and that and doing bits and pieces. But people are having a job if there's a problem in the park to get hold of who's in charge. Usual old story.
Oh, no, you're not wrong. I mean, you can go on for hours on these. I've got a situation.
But my personal view is that Grey Power is now replacing Grey Power in our zone, in the whole of Auckland, is virtually each association has now virtually replaced the ratepayers groups, because they're either very small or they don't exist, and even the senior citizens groups. I mean, we're going to become more active in council matters, And I think it's important in the interest of older people and the interest of the citizens in general that we become a little bit more feisty. And when we go to Mayor Gough's office, and when if I go next time, I'll say, Mayor Gough, you've had a pay increase, but how many staff have you let off? We need some attrition. They need to be doing something to get the staff sorted so they don't have as much staff. And a lot of stuff they can contract out these days, and they do, but they need to keep an eye on it. And by having six little octopus hands, Panuku, Auckland Facilities, and all the other little outfits, you know what I mean, Watercare, they're all run by their own little fiefdoms, and it was set up under Rodney Hyde, but they need to have a good look at it because it's not working.
Well, that's the whole point. When we can go on and on and on. I mean, and that's
the point.
Everybody shares the frustration because we've also got the basic problem now. The whole of the city sort of maintenance contract has been given out to this Ventio, which is an Australian company.
Yeah, so, Australia.
Yeah, people that was coming from Papakura to service a hall and walk with
them. That's right.
It's bizarre. Anyway, as I say, we can sort of pick out the examples that are happening, but what can we actually do? And I think that's the point that you made. Certainly in the North Shore, we sort of picked up just at our last meeting that we need to actually take head on the sort of the remit we actually put through to the or the policy point to the Auckland plan, that it should be fully reviewed.
Yes.
And ask the government to sort of go back to that and just say, right, it's not working.
No.
What can we do to fix it? But, of course, once again, exactly as you say, I mean, to do that on a community basis is very, very hard. But that's what we're doing. Probably the other thing that we've got here is the the actual quality of the submission process for the Auckland Plan, the 10-year budget. And the fact the Auckland Plan should be reviewed. And this is probably picking up a little bit of what we're talking about with this consultation system with Panuku. The whole thing's got almost impossible for the ordinary person.
Well, they call it consultation, but then they change it round and call it engagement. They've consulted with you, and then they go off like an engagement, which they can break.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
We had exactly that, the Panuku guy. I feel sorry. There's a guy called Carlos Rahman, and he comes along and fronts up, and he gets battered to pulp, and he's just the poor messenger. But
that's right.
He was trying to explain to our sort of feisty group the difference between consultation and engagement, and, of course, he got nowhere. But
you would have needed lots of lawyers from two different firms. That's what's costing us a lot of money, is the legal... costs involved or by council?
Well, I think it's that and the general consultancy cost. That's another thing. We had that situation, the crazy situation we were talking about where with Eden Park, with the concert they were going to have Nigel Avery.
Sir Ray Avery.
Yeah. And Helen Clark popped up as a local resident and they're talking about $750,000 to get a resource consent.
Yeah, now, just plumb crazy.
It's weird.
Those costs to have a resource consent, to subdivide and everything, it's precluding a lot of people from doing it because the cost, you've got to put the money up front, you probably have to borrow it.
Well, you can understand the sort of fees and things if you're building something, but just to have a concert
is just plumb crazy.
Yeah, it's just a decision, the decision process to have a concert at Eden Park because they've got understandable restrictions, I suppose, on it.
They have.
But I used to actually live by Eden Park in the 60s when rugby was sort of important. And, of course, you got used to the Saturdays and the place would be full.
Well, of course.
The roar of the crowd and the cars would be jammed up all over the place.
If you shifted to those localities, you got used to it, but now the newer people that have moved in don't like what was put in 50 years ago.
Well, it's a bit like...
Not in my backyard, they say.
Yeah, it's a bit like the old Western Springs with the Speedway.
Well, the other thing, too, touching on everyone's rates demands have arrived, and reminder to all our grey power members in Auckland to put in, if you don't get a rates rebate form with your rates account through the post, make sure you stop into your local service centre and pick one up and fill it out and have it in by the 31st of, I think, 30th of June next year. But the sooner you do it, the better. And touching on that, tomorrow we're going to be dealing in our committee with putting in the GST to get rid of the GST on rates, this old hardy annual. But if you keep playing it back long enough, we might get somewhere.
Oh, yes, that's what they say, the old Chinese water torture, and that sort of wears away our stone eventually. there's a lot of issues like that. I think Grey Power will be more active in, and it's about time.
Oh, absolutely.
It needs to be done. I mean, the Auckland Council's had a fair shot, 6 years of process, and now it's time to sort of really get some of these things resolved. I think that was interesting when you're talking about the rates, because one of the things we will be doing next time, which was included in our submissions for the last 6 years, what they call grandfathering of rates.
Grandfathering for when you turn 65.
Your rates stop at that level
till you pass on.
Exactly, unless you sell your property or whatever. Some places actually have a discount on rates, others just have a freeze when you get to 65. So that's what we'll be doing with a bit of research, just to find out.
I think they do it in parts in Ireland and in parts of Australia.
Oh, yeah, it varies, because it's each local authority area. I've looked at American cities and I've looked at the Western Australia actually give a discount of 50%, I think, quite significant.
That's significant.
It is, and so that's what we need to look at, because we put it up 6 years now and haven't even got a response, so now we need to engage specifically, which will be the help part of the Mayor's meeting, not so much the Mayor himself,
the Mayor's meeting,
but the second phase where we can talk to the officers and just see what they're doing.
Exactly.
So, it'll be an interesting year, because it's of course, it's election year coming up next year, as you pointed out. So,
and I see John Pollino, that previous candidate's already put his finger in the air.
Well, they all, of course, and I see the National Party were debating whether they're going to run candidates again, because after the last year's disaster with Auckland Future, I think they'd have to be very... Okay, well, we've got to wind up. Well, that's it for today, and maybe we need a bunch of Irishmen running Auckland Council. At least we get a few laughs out of the cock-ups and all head off to the pub for a few beers and a happy song and solve all the problems in a convivial way as the night moved along. But your Western deli mates are a cheerful lot who enjoy a song and a glass or two, so maybe it isn't such a silly idea. Chucking a couple of the bros with a guitar and some Tui Teka classics and we'd sort everything out pretty quickly. At least we'd be happy some of the time and not frustrated all of the time. Thanks for your company over the last 3 years. Bye for now. I'm sure I'll be back from time to time. And now a rollicking medley of Irish pub songs, from the Patsy Watchthorn to test our new governance theory for the council. Come to think of it, we have a few Patsies up there already.
I would give them a slip and take a sip of the rare old mountain dew. I did diddly a long, diddly a diddly a long, diddly a diddly a day. I did diddly a long, diddly a diddly a long, diddly a diddly a day. Da diddly oop late skiddly eight and da diddly oop late and doop and date skiddly eight and da hoot and date and doop and date skiddly eight and da diddly oop and date and doop and date skiddly eight and da. I am a little beggar man, a beggar I have been, but she's a girl of more than a little I've been. I know my belief he's out to kill a loo, I know my name of Elder Johnny too. Of all the trains going out, your begging is the best, but when a man is tired he can sit down and rest. Make for his living, he's nothing else to do, only slipper down the corner for the 7 week or two. Ya diddly oop and date skiddly eight and da diddly oop and date and doop and date skiddly eight and da hoot and date and doop and date skiddly eight and da diddly oop and date and doop and date skiddly eight and da. Says my L1 to your L1, will you come to the waxy's dagger? Says your L1 to my L1, sure you haven't got a farden. I wouldn't tell the mom, so tell to see young kindergarten, but he wouldn't give me a half crown for to go to the waxy's dagger. What do you have? Will you have a fight? I'll have a fight with you, sir. I'll have one, it doesn't order, so if you told out of the blues, sir. Tell me now when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull me hair and store me comb, but that's all right till I go home. She's handsome, she's pretty, she's the belle of Belfast City. She's a curtain, 1, 2, 3, please better tell me who